Hi, and thanks for tuning in to Sunday Morning. My name is Nathan Scott, and in the studio with me now are two lovely people from Strong City, Baltimore, talking about some events they have coming up, along with the organization in general. That's Michael Cross Barnett, the Communications and Special Projects Coordinator for the organization, along with Dana Murphy, who is the Events Manager. Mike, Dana, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So for anyone who's not aware, Mike, I'll start with you first. Before we get to the fundraiser that you have coming up, people should find out what Strong City Baltimore is all about. Can you tell me, how did it get started and what does it do now?
Sure thing, Nathan. Well, Strong City Baltimore is a 50-year-old grassroots nonprofit organization. You know, we've been working to help, you know, Baltimore become a better and stronger place really since 1969. We're celebrating that fact this year because it's our 50th birthday, and you'll find out, you know, a lot more about that in just a moment. But it's important to understand that Strong City really has a mission of building and strengthening neighborhoods and people in Baltimore. That's what we're all about. And we do that in a lot of different ways. But the most important ways that we do our work is really we provide some direct services to the community. For example, we have an adult learning center where 600 people a year get adult education classes, learn the English language, get some job skills so that, you know, they can enter the workforce. We also have a recreation center, the 29th Street Community Center, where hundreds of families and kids every week get to participate in recreational and educational events, most of which is free. And we also run a program called The Club at Collington Square, which is an after-school program in East Baltimore. Mm-hmm. It's really a lifeline for about 100 kids in that community who wouldn't otherwise necessarily have, you know, a safe and nurturing place to spend a few hours after school doing homework, getting some mentoring, getting a hot snack. Mm-hmm. So we have services that go directly to the community, but then there are other ways and other things that we do to help Baltimore become stronger. Mm-hmm. And one of those other things is we do grassroots organizing work. So we do work in neighborhoods that maybe have some challenges. So when people in those neighborhoods, they know they have issues that they want help with, but they may not know how to get started or where to go to get the help they need in, mm-hmm. you know, addressing their problems. So we can help with that. For 50 years, we've gained a lot of expertise working, you know, with neighborhoods on a grassroots community level so that people can find resources they need, mm-hmm. so that, you know, if, you know, maybe it's a community that doesn't have a neighborhood association, mm-hmm. or maybe their neighborhood association is weak, you know, and there are ways of making that stronger. There are ways of training people to be block captains so they can, you know, look mm-hmm. out for their neighborhoods. So that's another thing we do. And then finally, the other important thing that we do is we're a fiscal sponsor. Mm-hmm. So we have 130 community-based initiatives that they come to us and we help them do their work better because we provide the nonprofit status that they need so that they can accept tax-deductible donations, so that mm-hmm. they can do fundraising, grant writing. And we also provide additional services as far as accounting. You need to be a nonprofit. You need to have audited financial statements. There's a lot of technical things that we're good at mm-hmm. that someone who wants to, you know, start a little program to help their community and their neighborhood, they're not an expert at that. Mm-hmm. We are. So that's a way that we, in a way, Strong City is, you know, an organization, but it's 130 little organizations in one that all, you know, we all share mm-hmm. our strength together. So that's what we do in a nutshell.
And just speaking from my own personal experience, having been doing these public affairs shows for a while now, one thing that I think is important to note is the access to resources that you spoke about. I know, for my part at least, you know, I grew up in the more suburban parts of the state of Maryland, where access to the sorts of resources that you're talking about is not a difficult thing to get your hands on. It's something that you take for granted. But that's not something that is as readily available in some of the neighborhoods that Strong City Baltimore serves. And so you're filling an important gap by being there and having these resources both available to people who have the will to use them, but maybe don't know how. Or also just to, you know, coach them on how to use some of the resources that are already available to them. One other question that I wanted to ask about Strong City Baltimore is just about the work that it does in general. Without referencing anything specific, Baltimore has had a rough couple of years. I think anyone listening will know that. And there have been several different attempts at solving things on a legislative level that haven't panned out exactly the way people want them to. What is the value about in community-based work? What can it get done that government work cannot?
Nathan, that's a great question. I think one thing that's kind of different or mm-hmm. special about how we do our work is, you're right, a lot of people look at Baltimore and they see, you know, tremendous challenges. We don't deny that Baltimore has those challenges. Mm-hmm. But our approach is something called asset-based development. Mm-hmm. So when we look at a community, when we're invited to work in a community, you know, the question that we always try to start off with is not necessarily what's wrong with this place, mm-hmm. but, you know, what are the strengths here? What are the assets? You know, what, where can we start to build, you know, this community back to what we know it can be, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're, you know, working on the ground in a neighborhood, you know, most neighborhoods have a school. That's almost always a starting point for us. Very often there are strong religious organizations, churches. Mm-hmm. There may be a community center. You know, there's usually, even in the most, you know, challenged communities, there's a few thriving businesses, you know, that are leaders in that community. Mm-hmm. There's always just ordinary people who have knowledge and resources and strengths. You know, every neighborhood has someone who's like the mayor of that neighborhood, you know, the guy who's sitting out on his stoop and watching, you know, watching the block, making sure things are okay. You know, kids are not getting into trouble, maybe yelling at, right. you know, someone who he sees. He thinks, you know, they might be, you know, selling drugs or something.
He knows everybody. Everybody knows him.
Everybody knows his name or her name. So I think what's special about, you know, to your question about mm-hmm. what can happen in communities, you know, there's no way that government mm-hmm. can come in and know, you know, who that guy is, who they need to reach, mm-hmm. you know, so that we can, you know, start having, you know, the kinds of things, you know, connecting people to, you know, mm-hmm. resources that we know are there, you know, trying to, you know, make that neighborhood association stronger and more powerful. So maybe, you know, once they have regular meetings, they can start writing a neighborhood plan mm-hmm. for that neighborhood that they can then submit to the city so that they can get more resources into that community. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that can be done on that grassroots neighborhood level. Mm-hmm. But sometimes people just need a little help, you know, knowing, you know, where to turn. And that's something that we've been able to do, you know, for a long time.
Again, this is all about working with people who are a part of the community, who are already in the community, and using the strengths that exist even prior to your involvement, finding those strengths, bolstering them, and using their innate, basically positive points to help raise them up from where they're at.
That's right, Nathan. It's right in our name. You know, we're called Strong City mm-hmm. Baltimore. You know, in a way, that's... We had a different name for most of our history. You know, mm-hmm. for 45 years, we were called something else. And then 5 years ago, we switched to Strong City Baltimore, which was kind of our way of declaring two things. First of all, that, you know, we believe that Baltimore, despite its challenges, still is a strong city. Mm-hmm. And it has to be. You know, Baltimore is the beating heart of this area. You know, if Baltimore isn't strong, you know, I'm sorry, the areas around Baltimore are not going to be in great shape either. So mm-hmm. so we all you know, we all should agree we need Baltimore to be strong and healthy. Mm-hmm. So we think that's our calling. Mm-hmm. And also we chose that name because over the last decade, we've really become much more of a citywide organization. We used to have a focus on an area of neighborhoods in North Central Baltimore near the Johns Hopkins Homewood campus. Mm-hmm. But we now have programs that really touch the entire city, you know, through our Neighborhood Institute, which is a conference mm-hmm. of neighborhood activists and advocates that meets once a year to share ideas for solving problems. We mm-hmm. do that once a year. We have a VISTA program, Volunteers in Service to America. It's a federal service, national service program. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, we have volunteers all over the city and even beyond. And we have this fiscal sponsorship program that I mentioned right. earlier, where we really support community-based leaders and initiatives all over mm-hmm. the city. So that's what we mean, and that's why we call ourselves Strong City.
Well, and we'll get back to some of the stuff that Strong City Baltimore does on a daily basis in just a moment. But
sure.
I'd like to turn now to a very specific way that people, whether they're in the community or not, can get involved. That's your 50th anniversary, which, by the way, congratulations, your 50th anniversary fundraiser.
Thank you.
Coming up in, just a couple of weeks. And for that, I'm going to turn to you, Dana, as the event manager of Strong City Baltimore. Basically, give me your pitch. What's the theme of Strong City Baltimore this year, and why should people get involved?
So on May 4th, we're going back to our first year, 1969, and we're having a 1969-themed party mm-hmm. at the Hohen Lithograph Building, which is going to become the new home for Strong City in 2020. It's mm-hmm. over in the Collington Square area. Michael will probably touch on that in a moment. But we're trying to create just a really big, fun celebration that's very Baltimore-focused mm-hmm. And very celebratory. So we're going to have a 1969-themed costume contest.
Mm.
We're going to have food tastings from some great local restaurants. We're going to have Jonathan Gilmore and The Experience performing live. We're going to have three different DJ sets from Save Your Soul, Brandon Carlo, and Pharoah Hack.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be wrapped presents. We're having a local artist install a giant plexiglass lava lamp ceiling installation to make the space really beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah, we're really going all out to make this just a big, memorable occasion.
One thing I like to ask people who come in and do these interviews, essentially some context, is that generally speaking, people don't get into nonprofit work for the money. To be quite frank, they get into it because it's something that they care deeply about. What was it about Strong City Baltimore, even as the events manager, what was it about Strong City Baltimore that drew you to the organization and made you want to get involved?
Well, Strong City has a great mission, and mm-hmm. I think that's very interesting. I sort of got involved in Strong City on a whim. I saw the mm-hmm. someone sent me the job posting, and I decided to check it out, and I really liked the organization. I've never worked for a nonprofit before.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the music sector for 10 years. So this is just a really great organization. They mm-hmm. do a lot of really good work and help a lot of people. And when I started, we kind of discussed coming up with this 50th year events program.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like a really interesting opportunity and a way to reach different people.
Yeah.
And it's so important to try to reach new groups of people with events and bring people together. And I just loved the idea of being part of bringing more and more people together mm-hmm. around just the idea of loving Baltimore.
By the way, if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with two lovely people from Strong City Baltimore celebrating their 50th anniversary on May 4th. Those people are Michael Cross Barnett, the Communications and Special Projects Coordinator, along with Dana Murphy, the Events Manager. We're talking about their Get On Up fundraiser themed to 1969, the year that Strong City Baltimore was founded. Dana, you just mentioned a moment ago that you had some music background and you have music acts performing at Strong City Baltimore's fundraiser. What are some of the ways that your background in music have helped you in planning this event?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Well, I have worked with Save Your Soul before, and they mm-hmm. are an amazing DJ collective. They do a great party at the Lithuanian Hall. It's really, really fun, and they're just very knowledgeable about mm-hmm. soul music. So we wanted to keep this very, late 60s authentic.
Right.
Getting to work with Jonathan Gilmore is really exciting. He's currently mm-hmm. up for Best Party Band in the Baltimore Sun. And he has a really unique and interesting story. His mother is an activist, so it kind of makes so much sense to have them at this event.
Yeah.
I don't know if that completely answers that question.
No, that's exactly the sort of thing that I was looking for, because when you get involved in nonprofit work, you don't always do it because you have a specific skill set that the nonprofit is looking for. You do it because you care about the mission, and then whatever other skills you happen to bring to the table can always be used in some way, shape, or form.
Well, one thing that's really been fun about this event is getting to kind of fuse the two sides of my life together, you know? Mm-hmm. Getting to create this really fun party that still has a mission and is still focused on the work of Strong City. So that's been really exciting, and I'm excited for people to see what we've come up with.
And speaking about the work of Strong City, we've talked a lot about the different programs that are offered by Strong City and the initiatives, I think it's 130 you said, that it's a part of. I'd like to turn to you now, Mike, and ask if someone in one of these communities, let's say that I'm somebody who wants to take advantage of your services, can you walk me through the process of how I get in contact with Strong City, and then once I am talking with them and once I know that I can use their services, what are some ways that I help other people?
Well, Nathan, there's a lot of ways that someone can get involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the neighborhood work we do, mm-hmm. we definitely work with people who come to us and are looking for some help mm-hmm. on the neighborhood level. And that could be anything from, you know, going to a couple of meetings mm-hmm. and doing some consulting on, like, you know, here are things that your neighborhood association could be doing better. Mm-hmm. Here's how you could get your community a little better organized.
Mm-hmm.
Anything from, you know, a very, you know, small scale thing like that, to the fact that, for example, we've been involved in the Barkley neighborhood mm-hmm. for going back 15 years. And I know some of your listeners may remember this far back, but there was a time when that neighborhood was actually identified as really one of the 10 most challenged neighborhoods mm-hmm. in Baltimore City. And mm-hmm. and so a plan was put in place to, you know, to have some sort of positive development there that was, you know, that wouldn't displace people from the neighborhood who wanted mm-hmm. to still be living there, and yet would create opportunities.
Right.
And so Strong City was invited by neighbors in that community to be the community engagement partner for that effort. Mm-hmm. The Telesis Corporation was the builder. And over, you know, 10, 15 years, we've seen, you know, really a remarkable transformation of that community to where, you know, there's mixed income housing now because that's what people in the neighborhood wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, there are additional recreational opportunities in that neighborhood. Again, that's what residents said they wanted in their neighborhood. So, mm-hmm. So it's really a great example of how yeah. we do our work, which is, you know, never to go in and tell folks in a neighborhood, this is what we think you should do, but to find out what they want, and then to put people together in a room, you know, a developer, mm-hmm. An anchor institution, city officials, mm-hmm. ordinary residents, and make sure that the people who live in the community, that their voice is as powerful as, you know, the people who have, you know, the traditional kind of money and power
right.
in the community. So you know, so we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Our adult learning center is a great way that a lot of people get involved if they want to, you know, complete a GED, or if they have a friend or a family member who wants to do that, or is a recent immigrant and needs some, you know, some ESL help in learning the language.
Right.
You know, that's something else we do. I really encourage people to find out mm-hmm. When we have our next Neighborhood Institute, and that's something that's, you know, in the works. We're thinking, starting to plan it now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really a wonderful opportunity where anywhere from 300, 350 or more people gather all in one place to, you know, share skills and knowledge about, you know, helping to make Baltimore better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can range from, you know, how to, you know, begin an organic urban garden in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It could be about, you know, sharing the knowledge that we've gained over the years about how to address the problem of vacant housing in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. a huge issue in Baltimore. I went to a neighborhood institute a couple years ago, and I took a workshop on, they were talking about how to have events in your community that are intergenerational, that bring mm-hmm. together, you know, older people and younger people, because often, you know, there's very much of a divide there. Mm-hmm. And so how can we, you know, bring together, you know, people from, you know, different demographics, you know, different races, different ages, because everyone has something, you know, to share when it comes right. to improving our neighborhoods.
And, you know, this whole idea of not dictating but collaborating with the residents of all these communities and everyone having something to share, you know, you've been with the organization a lot longer than Dana has. You've been able to see it change and grow over the years. What are some of the ways in which your work with the organization has impacted you, and how would you like to see it grow in the future?
It's an interesting question, Nathan, because, you know, my journey with Strong City has been rather unique. Mm-hmm. I began as, you know, just I knew the CEO. You know, we were friends from way back. Our kids mm-hmm. went to school together. And so I was aware of this organization because of her, and I became, you know, a financial supporter of it. Mm-hmm. And over time, my career trajectory changed. I was a journalist, a newspaper mm-hmm. journalist for more than 20 years. And when I left that work about 5-6 years ago, and I was looking for a new direction, mm-hmm. Our CEO, Karen Stokes, you know, invited me to join the board mm-hmm. of Strong City, because she knew, you know, that I had communication skills and background, and she wanted to take the organization in a different direction. They mm-hmm. were looking to change the name, you know, kind of refine the mission. And so I was able to help for several years doing that organizational work as a board member. And then after my board term was up, mm-hmm. I found that I wanted to continue to serve the organization in a different capacity. Mm-hmm. And that's when I became the communications manager. And so since then, I've been working on, you know, doing all kinds of things to mm-hmm. get the word out about, you know, what Strong City is and what we do. Because for many, many years, we were really, you know, very much a behind the scenes kind of organization. Mm-hmm. You know, we did our work very quietly. You know, we didn't like to talk about ourselves. Now our approach is that, you know, not to claim, you know, credit for you know,
for the work that's getting done.
Right, but we do want people to know who we are,
right.
that we have an important role to play, you know, that we are the fiscal sponsor of organizations that they may mm-hmm. have heard of but have no idea that we're working with them, such as mm-hmm. Do More Baltimore, which is an amazing mm-hmm. group of young poets who won the International Poetry Slam contest in Houston, Texas last year.
Yeah.
We're very proud of that. You know, we sponsor Force Upsetting Rape Culture, which mm-hmm. is a local organization, but with some national prominence on the issue of really elevating the voices of sexual assault survivors.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore Core, there's an
right.
organization that a lot of people have heard of. They do tremendous work. You know, with mentoring and kind of advancing mm-hmm. The work of and building new nonprofit leadership, and we sponsor their work as well. So we have lots of partners, lots of friends, lots of great relationships in this community. And hey, you know, it's our 50th anniversary.
Right.
We want people to know about this.
And by the way, you know, again, not taking credit for the work that's being done, but providing the framework for all these different organizations to talk to each other. I've spoken to a lot of different charities doing public affairs that talk about the fact that they sometimes feel like they're crossing streams with other charities, that, you know, maybe if more people could get on the same page, we'd be able to get more done. And this is an organization that is helping people get on the same page and create those solutions from within, rather than bringing them in from areas that don't understand the unique culture and the history of Baltimore. Dana, I'd like to turn back to you now. We only have a few minutes left, but I want to ask another question about the fundraiser coming up. What do you hope that people who attend the fundraiser will, what's the feeling that you hope they'll come away with? What do you hope that they'll know about Strong City Baltimore that they didn't know before?
Well, we've definitely structured this to be more of a party than a traditional fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
We really want people to just talk to each other, get to know each other. You know, as I mentioned before, we have all these great local restaurants on mm-hmm. board. We want people to try their food. We have these great local bands playing. We want people to see them. Some mm-hmm. of our fiscally sponsored projects will be there doing these small pop-up experiences,
mm-hmm.
which are going to be a really unique and interesting way for people to get to interact directly with those projects, you know, so you can really see their work close up, not just hear about it or take a flyer, but like really see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
We have great local breweries and distilleries giving us alcohol for the event. We want people to try their drinks.
Right.
We want people to interact and just see a lot of little different ways that Baltimore mm-hmm. is great, and hopefully feel like Strong City is a part of making Baltimore great.
Nathan, can I add something to that?
Sure.
You know, when people come to this party, they're going to be in a very unique space.
Mm-hmm.
This building, the Hohen Building, is a remarkable edifice. It was mm-hmm. built in the 19th century, and for many years, most of the 20th century, it was a lithographic printing plant
mm-hmm.
that really has a special place in Baltimore's industrial history. Thousands of people work there,
mm-hmm.
and they did printing for all kinds of publications, magazines. They created those beautiful National Geographic maps that appeared in
right.
that magazine for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when we look at that place in that neighborhood, you know, we see the potential for a transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Strong City Baltimore is working with a developer, Cross Street Partners,
mm-hmm.
to renovate that building, which has been abandoned for 40 years. It's really been an eyesore in the community. Well, we're bringing that building back.
Mm-hmm.
And people at the party get on up on May 4th. Mm-hmm. You know, they're gonna see that transformation taking place right before their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, when the renovation of the building is complete, Strong City is going to be moving into the Hohen Building,
mm-hmm.
which we'll be calling the Center for Neighborhood Innovation. So we'll be working with other tenants, other nonprofits in the building. The Association of Builders and Contractors of Maryland is going to have an apprenticeship training program there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have our Adult Learning Center. Another nonprofit partner is going to have, you know, a work skills development program. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is going to be a special place where people can really go to get a wide variety of helpful skills related to,
mm-hmm.
you know, advancing their education and getting, you know, training that they need to, you know, to get a job. You know, we see this as something that could make a big difference for
mm-hmm.
a community that, frankly, has been neglected,
mm-hmm.
disinvested, in many ways abandoned for a long, long time. Now
yeah.
we have a chance to you know, to make a difference and start to help, you know, that community to make its way back.
And again, the emphasis here is local, it's homegrown, and you can see all of it in progress at Get On Up. That's going to be, again, on May 4th. If anybody would like to get in contact with you to find out anything more about the organization or the fundraiser or any other stuff that you have going on, what are some of the best ways to do that?
So Get On Up is actually kicking off an entire year of events.
Mm-hmm.
We're also doing a film festival at the Parkway Theater.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing a collaboration with several churches for a choral festival. We're doing our Neighborhood Institute Festival that Michael mentioned earlier. And then
mm-hmm.
in 2020, we're going to be doing a big block party.
Ah.
So if any of this sounds like anything that you might be interested in getting involved with,
mm-hmm.
You can email me at dmurphy@strongcitybaltimore.org.
Mm-hmm. And then if you'd like to find out more information about the event itself, that website is getonupbmore.com. Dana, Mike, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Dana and Mike from Strong City Baltimore. One more time, the event is Get On Up. It's on Saturday, May 4th. If you'd like to find out about Strong City, that website is strongcitybaltimore.org. Or if you'd like to attend or find out more about Get On Up, you can just go to getonupbmore.org. I'm Nathan Scott. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll be right back after this.